Welcome to The Wormhole. My name is Jamie Burchell, and you are listening to and are watching our podcast called Wormhole Pinball Presents. Today, I am joined by Dalton Eli.
Hey, how's it going? Howdy, folks.
Dalton lives about an hour outside of Atlanta. Is that right?
I live, yeah, you could say that.
Okay. He is ranked 36th best pro player in the world. He's got a Twitch stream called Dalton Pinball, and he just filled out a nice 1099 form. Dalton, welcome to the Wormhole virtually. Sorry for the long hold up.
That's all right. Hey, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well.
How was your weekend? Me. What, anything new happened to you this weekend?
Yeah, we can talk about this weekend.
Let's delve right into the weekend so that we could just go right into it and not be one of these tease podcasts where we leave it at the end. For those who don't know, Dalton just won the high stakes tournament this past weekend at It Never Drains in Southern California in disc. The payout what was the payout for first place?
The entry was $500.
Okay.
And the first place was $15,000.
How was filling out that 1099 form? Look at
here's the trophy I got. I'm holding it sideways so you can see it says first place high stakes on it.
Unbelievable.
It's a big trophy. It's a heavy trophy. It's like, I think it's acrylic or glass one, but it's a heavy, heavy stinking trophy. And I also, for winning one of the things in this, I got one of their challenge coins for this year, the Open.
That's awesome.
2024, which is super cool. But not bad for a baby's first in disc, huh?
That's your first in disc?
Yes, it was actually my very first in disc. Last year, when we went to a Super Series and Expo, I did good there, and I actually used some of that money I won from Super Series and Chicago Expo to fund this trip to Indisc. And
what's that?
It was just something told me I needed to go, and I got out in quarterfinals in the World Championship
in the Open.
But I managed to get in the top eight of the high stakes because it's only limited to a maximum of 80 players.
Yeah.
And it's only taking the top eight to the qualifiers, which is really strenuous. And you got to do good, you know, consistently across five games.
You qualified sixth in the high stakes, right? Out of eight.
I believe I was sixth or seventh. I was around the sixth or seventh because I know when the scores fluctuate, you'll change your positions every now and then. But I'm pretty sure I was either sixth or seventh.
I've got you here, sixth. I'm looking at the Never Drains players bracket right here in front of me.
Oh, okay.
A couple screens and sixth. Can you explain for people who've never been to one of these major tournaments, Dalton, can you kind of explain the card qualification process? Because it can be a little confusing.
Okay, yeah. So in disc with the card format, they call it card format. It's basically you have a card of five scores on it. You have to do good. It's like you're submitting five game scores at once, basically. Okay. But you got to do good across five games at one time, because you could have a good score on four of them and you can have a very bad score on the last one, and that card could be destroyed because of that. But you just want to do good across five machines before you submit it in. That's really the gist of the card.
Okay.
It's like your standard best score qualifying, but you're submitting five scores at once. That's about the easiest way I could put it.
And for high stakes, how many cards do you get?
High stakes, it was the same way, but the entry for high stakes was $500 buy-in.
Okay.
And you got 10 cards.
All right, so you're having a great built fourth game. You go to the fifth game, doesn't work out. There goes one of your entries, right?
Yeah, I know. That's about it, because you always have that pressure. It's okay, I need to hunker down. I got a good card going. I need to pull out all the stops on this last card if I want to qualify. And there's something about having that pressure on you that there's a little bit of fun to it. You know what I mean?
No, because I choke. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm ranked 2000th in the world.
Okay,
I'm not ranked 35th, but, you know, I love that idea, right? That you know, great players, no matter what the sport, and I'm a sport nut, when they feel the pressure, there are those, the great players can deal with it and can handle it.
Yeah, that's why I always tell people the physical skill is a big part of the game, but I'm willing to argue that the mental skill of pinball plays an even bigger part, because you could be, you know, you could have all the skills in the world, but as soon as your mental is rattled a little bit, you'll just start crumbling down, you know?
Absolutely.
So your yeah, mental game is a really, really strong part of the pinball tournament scene, you know?
That's awesome. So here, InDisc was streamed by IE Pinball. Phenomenal amount of people were watching you guys. An absolute phenomenal. I mean, 15,000 to 17,000 at one point.
Yeah, actually, there's a Twitch staff member who was their Twitch staff partner. His name was Pluto. He's in Pluto in chat a lot. He was actually there, and he actually helped IE Pinball get onto the front page of Twitch. And that increased the discovery and availability to all the Twitch viewers in the world. And we had over 10,000 viewers at once, like just about all day long.
Yeah, all day long. Because I watched it most of the day. And I was up till 2 a.m. watching you. Because it was just unbelievable. I mean, you make it to the top eight. I'm going to talk people through this in case they didn't watch this, but you're in a group with Arvid, Eric Stone, Jared August.
But that's just the first round of High Stakes. You know, you've got Eric Stone, you know, two-time major world champion. You got Arvid, who's a, you know, one of the greatest players in Europe.
Right.
And then you have Jared, who's one of the greatest players in the United States.
And this is just round one semifinals.
Round one of High Stakes, I can remember we played...
You played Black Knight, RoboCop, and Wheel of Fortune. Who chose those pins? How were those pins chosen?
So, Jared was the higher...
Okay.
He was the high seed in our group. He got to choose the games. But I was actually the first one to pick order. Or no, I was the second one to pick order. Arvid, I believe, chose fourth on all games. I chose third on all games. Eric Stone chose second, and Jared defaulted to go first on all games. But contrary to what people say, these games were set up hard. You know, these big name tournaments, these games are set up hard. There's barely any ball saves. The flippers are super powerful. The outlane posts are gone. We made it look easy, but it's not that easy.
Well, you got a second on Black Knight, a second on RoboCop, and then you wind up winning. You get the W on Wheel of Fortune and move into the finals. And then Eric...
Eric and Jared had to play a one-game tiebreaker, and I believe they played F-14 Tomcat.
Okay. So they played F-14 Tomcat. The other group, which is totally ridiculous, some kid named Esther, right?
Yeah, Escher. You got Escher, Danielle, and Keith
Elwin and
Jermaine in that group.
Wow.
That might as well be a world championship final in that group.
Unbelievable, right? So we didn't get to see any of that because the Open, you know, Zach had just won the Open. And
for the second time, this is the second one.
I know.
Zach was the one who eliminated me from the Open. We had to play a tiebreaker. We were tied at 6-6, and we had to play Stranger Things. And I lost on that particular Stranger Things with about like 160, 150 million.
Which was a great score.
Yeah, Stranger Things and Zach McCarthy go together like peanut butter and jelly, you know. He loves that game. And I remember telling Zach, you know, as a joke, I was like, you better win this whole thing or I'm going to beat you up. But we were joking then. Then, you know, he eventually wins it. And I say, looks like I won't have to beat you up after all. Good job.
No. So after round two, you go to the finals now and look at this finals, right? Escher and Danielle, and you and Eric Stone.
Oh man,
holy smokes, right?
That's the best of those two groups. That might as well be a world championship final there, you know?
You know,
it's just crazy.
And so let's go over here because I have it. I have the Never Drains here.
I will say that high stakes finals, that was actually, I believe, the very first time I ever played a match with Daniele.
Okay. That was the first match with Daniele?
Mm-hmm, that's actually, matter of fact, I think this in-disc was the very first time I met Daniele in person.
Okay.
But
so he got to pick the games, right? Because he was player one, right?
He deferred on the third game of F14 Tonga. Deferred, and I'm pretty sure
Eric Stone took that.
Or it's like, yeah. I think Daniele, he picked Wheel of Fortune. And
so you have Wheel of Fortune, Harley Davidson, F1 Tomcat. In the semis, you put up $55 million on Wheel of Fortune. Ladies and gentlemen, look at these scores. I'm going to tell you these scores on Wheel of Fortune. $55 million you put up on the semis, which was amazing, by the way.
Oh yeah,
right. That's a big number.
Look at
these numbers. Escher, $51 million. By the way, he finishes with no points.
That's a last on Wheel of
Fortune.
That's
a last, ladies and gentlemen.
Last place on Wheel of Fortune gets $50 million. That's usually a grand champion on other Wheel of Fortunes.
Player two, Daniele, 77,326.
$77 million.
$77 million is third place. Eric Stone, player two, gets $78 million, gets 2 points, and you come out and put up $91 million. Points.
How'd
you do it? Talk me through Wheel of Fortune because it's such a hard game. How did you do that? Do you remember
Wheel of Fortune? I'll just say that semifinal was like my warm up game.
Yeah,
but I don't see Wheel of Fortunes a lot. But from what I can understand, there's green targets around the playfield that spell out multi ball, and you want to hit those. You light your multi ball. You have the puzzle on the board. You want to hit the contestants to get letters. You know, you can buy vowels at the little scoop.
Yeah.
But the most common way of playing is you want to spell bonus, you know, the shots that spell the bonus letters. Hitting all of them will light the bonus round, which is basically a mode. It's basically your mode.
Okay.
You want to light bonus and light multi-ball, you know, bonus round and multi-ball stacks usually the way to go right out the gate. And also you want to get some of those inline drops down for your free spins. And those free spins are your outlane ball saves, and there's like two.
And you were loaded outlane. Up on your outlanes.
I wanted to make sure that the only way to go was down the middle.
Yeah. You know?
Because that's a double wide lane in the middle between them flippers. It's almost like an electromechanical game. You know, something like Spanish Eyes, you know?
Right.
And I can remember getting the bonus round of multi-ball stack going. And then there's one, I think it's called Stop the Wheel, and it requires you to hit the contestants, and the wheel spins, and it multiplies whatever it lands on. And there's one that's, I believe it's a million, and I had a million times four. So I had like 4 million from that one shot at one point.
Yeah.
But, you know, multi-ball and mode is the way to go. And when you solve your second puzzle, that is a prize multi-ball, and you get, you know, like trip to Africa or trip to Spain, multi-ball and stuff like that. And that's usually how it goes in a nutshell. Just spell bonus, get multi-ball, hit the contestants, solve puzzles. But that game's starting to grow on me a little bit. I don't see it a lot.
I think it should. You GC'd it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was more crazy, when Daniele drained his last ball, he was player four. You know, there was a big suspense because he was like, you know.
Right. He was right there to get those 2 points.
Yeah, pardon the pun, but he was within a stone's throw of Eric Stone's score.
Yeah.
You know, but he barely missed it by less than 1 million.
Yeah, which is insane. 77,326 to 78,223 change.
But it's just crazy when you play with these high-level people and – $50 million on Wheel of Fortune gets last and $70 million gets third. You know, that's just insane. And this wasn't the easiest Wheel of Fortune out there.
Well, you move on, you get your four, and then you go to Harley Davidson. Do you know Harley at all? Is it a game you're familiar with?
Harley Davidson, the very first time I played it was at District 82, but it looks very simple, but it's actually a lot of fun, believe it or not. But I knew exactly what I was supposed to do, but Eric Stone, he loves this game.
Yeah.
I mean, as you can see when you mentioned the scores of this game, he loves this game.
Well, look at the scores of this game. Escher comes up 16 million, 16.5. Danielle, player two is Eric Stone, and he put up 46 million.
Mm-hmm.
You put up player three, 40 million and change. And Daniele gets 21. So you come out with the 2 points. Stone, you know, it was very fascinating. Go back and watch it, people, because you guys were blowing Steve Bowden's mind with the moving of the city. I mean, you're blowing Steve Bowden's mind.
Yeah, everyone, I remember rewatching it. Everyone in chat is going crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Harley Davidson's got those almost like fathom outlane, inlane, you know, with the curved outlane stuff.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody would save it off, the chat would go crazy because it's such a, you know, miniature hype moment. And I remember Daniele just heaved the machine, took a textbook double danger to save one, and then he locked the ball, then he took a walk. Then he took a walk because it's like, I moved out a lot. I'm going to let that sit.
Let that sit. So you know what's interesting? So you get a second there. And so you're in good shape coming into F14 Tomcat, but you're
okay
at that point with Eric Stone because he had a second on Wheel of Fortune. And so at that point, it's between you and Eric Stone because unfortunately, Escher and Daniele can't win, right? But
yeah,
in between.
Well, yeah, that's right. But yeah, the battle was between you and me and Stone at that point.
And you're playing, you know, a machine that he really, really loves. And F-
yeah, he actually won the very first in-disc Open World Championship. That was the game that Eric Stone won right. that championship on, is that F14 Tomcat. And during qualifying, I barely even cracked 500,000 on that F14 Tomcat in high stakes in qualifying because it's just I could not get a hold of it. I was going into this. I was like, man, I think I'm due. I got a hunch I'm due.
So that and, was, you know, most people would be nervous and shaking. You come in and go, I've got a hunch I'm due?
Well, to say I wasn't nervous is a lie because, you know, I mean, the best players in the world can get nervous. It's all about, you know, overcoming that nervousness. And you just got to think, you know, I'm nervous. I know I'm nervous, but I got a good feeling about this. You know, you got to have that little shred of positivity because when that nervousness enters that mental state, you crumble like dust, you know. And I just had a hunch. I was telling my dad, I was like, I know I didn't do good in qualifying, but I got a hunch I'm due. I just said, I'm due on this game. And
boy, were you, huh?
Yeah. And this ball too
is
we're jumping ahead and this ball too.
Let's jump because your ball two is pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, it was awesome, and then it was awesome for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Because I have, you know, a two ball. I start the rip off multi-ball. I remember that. And there's this one segment where I take the upper flippers, I hold one up, and I'm just, you know, hitting the other one, getting the bonus multipliers up by just what I'm making my own side loop up there, which is actually super cool. And that F14 Tomcat, another thing I forgot to mention, that had a special ROM in it is wherever you roll over the in lane and you hit the kill targets where the, you know, you like your kickback and the kills and stuff, you would actually spot a letter in Tomcat towards your locks. And that Tomcat also, you couldn't spot a letter from the, you know, the saucer.
Okay.
Which is, you couldn't just cheese that over and over again for Tomcat letters. You had to get these on your own. You had to get these the hard way, so to speak.
Yeah, with all those dots across all over the playfield. Those blue dots.
And I actually got enough kills to kill Yagov and get the extra ball award, which I believe it was worth, I want to say 300,000 points. Yeah. I could be wrong on that.
I don't remember. It was just huge and chat was going crazy.
Yeah. And then when I start my second multi-ball, I get the fighter jackpot. It was roughly about, I think, 800, 850,000 points. Puts me over 3 million. And then I hit the kill target. Then I hit the kill target again with the other ball. And it tilts.
Yeah.
And I just remember going, what? You know, my arms are up. Everyone's going. The crowd in the background, you know, lets out that big, oh.
Yeah.
And chat was just screaming, robbed, robbed, robbed. My boy got robbed. Yeah. That's not right. That's some BS and stuff like that.
I just chatted, wow. Because it was wow worthy, right?
It was just, I know I did make a big move earlier, but you can tell that I barely even moved it. I just hit the target and it tilted.
Yeah.
And I actually saw Andy Rosa in chat. He said something like he had an F-14 Tomcat that had a switch matrix issue that if you hit a target, it would tilt. So not saying it, but I mean, if I didn't have a good score, but I was at 3.5 million, I was not upset at all. I know, right. Even though it kind of shafted me, jipped me on that, but it was just, I was sitting pretty with 3.5 million. Yeah. I was like, I'm not mad at this at all. You know, any other time I would get upset, but
no, I think you had a great attitude with it, right? We were like, okay, shake it off. And
yeah. I will say that high stakes Final Four was probably the most locked in I ever was. I think the only other time I was locked in that much is the IFPA Pin Masters. And if I can, once I get in that groove, I feel like there's barely any stopping me.
Yeah.
Because it takes a while. That's like what I like to consider myself. I like to consider myself one of those momentum-based players, you know.
Sure.
I always think if I'm in a tournament qualified, the first round to me is the hardest round. But when I win that round, I've gained some momentum, and then, you know, it starts spelling trouble for other people, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of players who are like that with the momentum-based players.
That's no matter what sport it is, right? If me and you go tee it up today in golf, okay, and I bogey, 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 I'm going the wrong way, right? You don't want to start off. You want to start off with a nice little par or a nice little birdie, and you want to keep that momentum for 17 more holes after that. So, I mean, it's just, I don't care what sport is. Momentum is so vital, right? It's just
that. That is absolutely right.
So you that put up, true. You wind up putting up 4.15 million. Eric Stone did not catch you. You, and that was it. It was really unbelievable. What goes through your head when it's over and you win? What's going through your mind?
As soon I see Eric, he drains out the left out lane, you know, with the kickback. He turns around, immediately goes and gives me a hug. And I just walk up, play my ball out like a little victory lap and stuff like that. And I'm not hooting and hollering. I'm not, you know, saying awesome, you know, I'm giving people fist bumps and handshakes and hugs and all that, but I just couldn't show emotion. I don't know if I was just locked in.
You were so locked in.
I was so locked in. I couldn't even crack a smile. I couldn't even, you know, hoot and holler, celebrate, you know, I was just, you can see me walking in the background. I'm just walking, you know, somberly. I'm just
really
going to in front of the screen. I'm looking at the screen watching Escher play his last ball. And, you know, everybody's saying, way to go, Dalton, way to go, Dalton. Give me handshakes and all that. I'm like, hey, man, appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I
hitting you yet, right? Really? Maybe?
That's what I was telling them. I was like, it hasn't set in yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't set in yet. It's like, I don't know if I'm on an adrenaline crash or just need to get out of that.
Yeah, that's what's happening. You're on an adrenaline crash. And when did you sleep pretty good that night?
Yes, I did. I did sleep pretty good that night. Then the next day, we boarded the plane, headed home.
So your dad came with you?
Yes, he usually comes with me on all these tournaments, you know, all these out of state across the country tournaments like Chicago and, you know, District A2. He's there for me.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
awesome.
He's like my corner man, so to speak.
That is so fantastic to have that support, you know, with you, to be able to go there and know that you've got someone to talk to. But in between balls, some people listen to music, some pace around, some people live chat on Twitch as they're playing. How is that possible? How do you do that?
It's just people in chat, you know, is this saying Dalton's a chat? Wait, is Dalton Pinball that guy who's playing now?
Exactly. That's what they're saying. And I've seen you do it multiple times. So I've seen it, right? But
well, I like to think of it, it's like if you ever seen a baseball game where they have the players mic'd up, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I'm doing a firsthand reports of what I'm doing and stuff.
Do you think calms you down a little, maybe?
Yes, I would actually agree with you there. It does actually help me calm me down. It takes the stress off of the game at hand, you know. I mean, I'm still focused on it, but the pressure just dwindles down, you know, when my mind is taken off of it.
So who is the Twitch chatter named Dalton's number one fan? Is that your mom?
That is my mother, yes.
How awesome is that, right? That your mom is on chat. She's rooting for you unbelievably, right? And it's infectious. I think I love that she Twitch chats. It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yeah. She's the chat representative of the Dalton, you know.
Well, congratulations, man. I think that's just fantastic. We're going to keep going and talk a little delve into how you got into this and stuff, but I wanted to get, you know, talk about Indus right off the bat and congratulate you again. What an accomplishment.
Hey, I really appreciate it. Yeah. First Indus and my name's on a banner already. I'll take it. And there's also one more thing I got to mention about the high stakes.
Please.
Before I didn't even pay my entry to the high stakes when I got there. Me and dad, we were just eating lunch, and I got a message from Victor, better known for Pinball Monk, you know, the mods and the flipper fans guy.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a message. He's saying, I want to pay for your high stakes entry. And I just said, I really appreciate it. I just, you know, that's a lot of money. And he said, just don't worry about it. If you're balking at it, I'm going to pay your high stakes entry because I have a good feeling that you're going to shake things up. And needless to say, the investment paid off.
Are you kidding me? What a great story.
And then I just told him after, I was like, I guess the investment paid off. I once again, I cannot thank you enough because I know $500 is, you know, to some people, $500 is merely a drop in the bucket, but $500 to me, you know, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money to anybody.
I probably would not have won the high stakes if he didn't pay my high stakes entry. And I really do appreciate him for that. So Victor, if you're listening, man, I really do appreciate it. And thank you so much once again.
Oh my God. That is an awesome story. Thank you for sharing it here on our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate it. All right, so let's go back in time. Not that far. Since you're only 23. When when did you start playing competitive pinball?
I started playing competitively back in 2018. So, you know, coming up on 6 years now.
Okay.
I mean, if you take away, you know, the suspended years for COVID, you know, mainly about 4 years, you know. But since 2018, you know, early February 2018 was my very first IFPA tournament. But I actually remember playing pinball, you know, when I was a kid. I vividly remember the very first machine I ever played. I was about like 3 or 4 years old. It was Simpsons Pinball Party.
Wow.
You know, I didn't do too good on it, but I just remember, you know, Homer Simpson's head and the callouts. And I can remember, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Then we'd find movie theaters. Me and Dad would go to movie theaters and find pinball machines. That's usually the newest releases. You know, I can remember playing Tron at the movie theater, Game of Thrones, Avatar, Kiss, Aerosmith, Ghostbusters. And we would just go to the movie theater, not even go see a movie, just get a bucket of popcorn, some drinks, and just play that pinball machine, you know, as long as we wanted to, mainly.
Yeah.
And I can also remember I had a Nintendo Wii for Christmas one year, and I actually got the Pinball Hall of Fame Williams collection. It had, you know, Taxi, Firepower, yeah, Black Knight, Funhouse, you know, all those, you know, legendary Williams titles. And also the Gottlieb collection with Big Shot, Genie, and Black Hole, and Heat Off, you know, just to name a few. And it wasn't until late 2017 we found out about this place in Acworth, Georgia. Or it's in Acworth, Georgia now, but it was in Kennesaw, Georgia at the time. It was called Portal Pinball Arcade. And we decided to go there. It was very brand new, not even half a year of opening. And we're just amazed at all these pinball machines. You know, you got one wall of the modern stuff, then you got one wall of the solid states and EM stuff right over there. And it's just, wow, that's a lot of pinball machines. And Brian Broyles, the owner, he noticed us. He's like, you should come and play in some tournaments. And I was like, okay, when's the next tournament? He said, February 2018. That's our next month of tournament. Come on out. And that was my very first IFPA tournament. I think I finished like 14th. I was, contrary to what others think, I wasn't what I am now back then. Sure. You know,
it takes work.
It does take work. I always tell people, you know, going off a little bit, people tell me, it's like, how'd you get so good? I just tell people, I was a learner. You know, I had to start somewhere. You know, anybody can learn this. You got to practice, you got to study, you got to understand how these things work. And I just tell people, I was once like you. I was a learner. I learned from the best in Georgia. You know, there was four guys I want to shout out.
Please.
When I was in Georgia starting out, you know, had Brian Broyles, the owner of the Portal Pinball Arcade, another guy named Chris Compton. He always used to travel. Back then, he played in a tournament. Last time I saw him, we were at a tournament. I won. We had to play Dolly Parton. We had a big game of Dolly Parton going on. We're talking about like a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
But he was good. He was the one who told me about, you know, these out of state tournaments, you know, and traveling stuff. He used to go to City Champ and, you know, some Pinbergs and stuff like that. But he was one of my biggest help. And third guy, Scott Kuthice was his name. He was also a big help in, you know, understanding how flipper skills and transcribing it to different machines. And another guy, his name is Ray Smith, that I really haven't heard a lot from him lately, but I'm sure he's still in the pinball community. But those four guys, Brian, Chris, Scott, and Ray, those four guys helped me get an understanding early on, you know, flipper skills, you know, look at what pop is, travel to other states and play in another tournament out there and just set my mind to it, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's good. First of all, good Oscar speech, you know.
secondly, good Oscars.
No, but seriously, I think that this community, more than most other hobbies or sportish, you know, sport communities, is very inviting, Dalton.
It truly is, you know.
Don't you feel that way when you come in new and you're not changing the lanes up top, right? Let's say you're not spelling whatever up top. And they say to you, hey, man, you see this flipper right here? When that ball comes through there, change it so that you can spell this and get your multiplier up.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing a guy named Chris Powell told me, and I've been hooked ever since, right? Trying to learn these things. So it's just an unbelievable community. And, you know, they were
absolutely,
it really, really is. So prior to this weekend, what was your best finish at a major event?
Prior to Indisc, it probably been the IFPA Pin Masters, which I won
yeah
earlier back in last March. And That was actually my very first Penn Masters too. I won my third Georgia State championship and got to go to District A2. That was actually my first time at District A2 as well. And
where
I did
can you
good.
Go new now? This is what we need to figure out here. Let's see. Did you get a spot at TPF this coming in March?
I don't think I did, unfortunately.
Okay. That's too bad, because that could have been brand new for you. We could have rode this new streak.
Yeah. But I can remember going back to when I started out, I actually did well enough. Once I got about July, I won my very first tournament. And then I just started getting better. And just I started winning, you know, more of these weekly tournaments back to back and all that. And I actually qualified enough to play in the Georgia State Championship that year.
Okay.
And I made it to the finals. And you know who I'm going to quiz you. Take a guess who my finals opponent was for the Georgia State Championship back in 2019.
Keith Allen. No.
No, nope, not Keith Allen. Eric Stone.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm not kidding. Eric Stone, he was Eric Stone. You know, some people, you know, he's always, you know, he's very live wire competitive when he plays, for sure. You know, yeah. But when you get to talking with him, he's truly one of the best guys out there. And Eric Stone was like the first big name, you know, pro player that I got to be around, because he won the Classics and the main division of Pinvasion that first year of my career, and he got to qualify for Georgia, and he drove up from Florida to play in the Georgia State Championship. And I remember I was such a nervous wreck, because I just had all this pressure on me. It's like, I'm the last Georgia guy, and I got to defend against the current number four in the world at the time.
Wow.
And I was like, oh man, I am very, very nervous. But I was happy to be there playing the state championship. And long story short, I actually beat him and won state championship.
Wow.
And I actually got to go to Las Vegas to play in the North America Championship and represent Georgia. And I remember after the tournament was over, Eric Stoney come up to me, talked to me a little bit. He's like, you're good. You're locked in. You're going to be good, you know, years from now. And he gave me this little card. I got to find it. But here, I'll be right back. You mind if I step away for a second?
Not at all.
I can get it for you.
Not at all. Not at all. We'll edit this. No problem.
All right, here. I found it. Here it is right here.
Oh, awesome.
But I found it, but he gave me this card, the Walter Day Superstars of 2017. It had him on it. I'm going to hold it up to the camera here. Maybe hard to see, but
no,
it's
I can
the
see it.
He signed it. He signed it for me, gave it to me right after the state championship, and I still got it. And, you know, I played with him just this Sunday in the high stakes. You know, we come in full circle, like you said earlier.
And he came and gave you a big hug right after you beat him. That's
that's the beauty of all this pinball stuff. You know, I mean, competition's there. Don't get me wrong. You know, there's, you know, when it matters the most, you know, when the pressure's on, there is competitive spirit to be found in each and every player. But once the competitive nature is done, when the tournament's over, when the dust settles, we're just like one big family, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, we like to just hang out, you know, talk about what's going on. You know, we're just friends. We're like a big giant bunch of friends playing pinball, even if it just says world championship. We're just friends playing pinball. That's all we are.
So where are you playing the state championship?
I'm going to stay in Georgia.
Okay. Because you're qualified for a few.
Yeah, I actually got some emails. It's like I got email for Illinois, Wisconsin, and Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina.
So when is Georgia? When is it?
It's going to be January 20th. I believe that's when they're the IFPA state championships. They're all held on the same day. I think.
I didn't, because ours is the 20th as well. Yeah. So is yours going to be streamed?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe Pensomniacs Pinball.
Okay.
They're based out of where this location is going to hold the state championship. At Sterling Martin's Balls of Steel. It's in Richmond Hill, Georgia, which is almost near Savannah. So
okay. It's
going to be a long drive for me. It's about a 4-hour drive. Yeah. I live in Northwest Georgia, and it's going to be a long drive, but I got to defend my title, you know.
Got to defend and then hopefully get to Nationals. Where's Nationals this year?
I believe it's going to be held at District 82 again, right? This year. Yeah.
Great.
So I think District 82 is going to be like the home for it now, okay. which ain't bad, because that's really a textbook.
I have not been to DA2, and that is on my list of things I have to do. So
it's a great place. We went there, you know, for Pin Masters and Nationals. It was just a great setup. They had, you know,
nothing but great things, and I got to get
nothing. That. Yeah, I was hearing. It's like, Dawn, you got to get up to District 2. Yeah. Get in line for Super Series or something like that. I was like, I know. It's just, that's a long flight. That's a lot of money, long you
drive.
Know.
And it's a long drive from the
airport. But when I actually got to District 2, I just remember, I was like, I've heard and seen the good things about it, and now I've experienced the good things about it, and I will be back.
Well, before we shut this down, when did you start your stream, Dalton Pinball, on Twitch?
Excuse me, but I started my stream back.
Where do you stream out of as well? What location do you normally?
I stream from Portal Pinball Arcade. That's great. Where I usually stream from. Thursday night, I used to do it Tuesday and Thursday nights. I started doing the streams from Portal early 2021, like March 2021, you know, when COVID was rampant, you know. And
yeah.
Is the second year of COVID, and I just hear people, it's like, Dalton, you need to get a streamer rig. We want to see you play. And I was like, well, we'll figure out something. And 2021, I set up a rig. I made it out of PVC pipe and a couple of Logitech web cameras and a laptop.
Awesome.
And, you know, people tuned in. And
absolutely.
Next thing you know, I become an affiliate and going almost 2 years, almost 3 years strong of streaming. So
congratulations on the stream. It is awesome. It's not easy. I love to commentate, right? And I that's really my bailiwick, but it's not easy to commentate and play pinball at the same time. There's very few people that can do it really well, and you're one of them. So congrats on that.
It's great. Oh man, I appreciate that, you know.
Yeah.
I like doing commentary whenever I can.
I like you on the mic too. I think you do a really good job. You know, I've seen. You know,
oh man, I appreciate that.
I tune into the big ones, and you know, you're up there, and I, your knowledge of the games is what's so great, right? Like I can call play by play, and I'm good at moving it along and pointing to Steve Bowden. Steve, what would you do here, right? But I have to, you know, that's the Al Michaels role, if you will. Right, the Joe Buck. I'm not Troy Aikman. I can't give you the information on F1, F14 Tomcat as like you can and Steve Bowden. It's just that knowledge is just really impressive.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I'm trying to, you know, I'm learning more and more as a commentator on, you know, how to commentate, you know. But yeah. I just, you know, I tried to give it my best, you know. I really enjoy doing it.
You do great.
And, well, I appreciate that. You know, people tell me, it's like, oh man, I love your commentary and stuff like that. And it just, it really, you know, puts a smile on my face, you know.
Yeah, it, and, you know, it is nice. We look, all of us, when we're doing this, we don't get paid. You know, you got paid this weekend, but we don't get paid for Dalton Pinball on Twitch, right? We don't make any money on the Wormhole channel. We're just doing this because we love pinball and we want to spread it. And I love it. So that's why podcast.
Yeah. Stuff. You know, streaming, you know, streaming's hard, you know, and, you know, any support, that comes to the channel, you know, it's never necessary, but it's very greatly appreciated.
Absolutely.
You know, I do this a lot, you know, just because I just love to play pinball, you know, and I just love the community of the pinball people, you know?
Yeah. Where did you come up with the phrase do a tap pass?
Oh, okay. So
please, before we leave, I can't leave you without do a tap pass.
Okay. The do a tap pass. I just remember, I can't remember. I think we were playing Paragon one time.
Okay. And tap pass worthy game.
So someone was on the left flipper and it's like, how do I get the ball over? I need to get the ball spot. I just say, do a tap pass. And it's like, huh? I was like, do a tap pass. It's where you gotta, you know, just tap the button and the ball just bounces right over.
Right.
And then on stream, you know, just doing post passes and all that, then people just start saying, hey, can you do a tap pass right fast? And I'm like, oh, do a tap pass? I was like, okay, there's your tap pass. And needless to say, it just stuck. That's all I can say.
It's almost like, you know, I wish the pinball community was like 10 times the size so that you could trademark that and make a couple of bucks off of it. Because
it's like the skateboarders have the do a kickflip, you know, stuff like right. that. Yeah. That's about the best way I could describe it. Okay. You know? And it's just like, hey, do a tap pass.
I mean, every time there's a tap pass shot on our stream, someone in chat says, do a tap pass, right? And then we smile thinking that Dalton is somewhere smiling. And it is just, and you see it, and it's not just our stream. And you go to all these streams and you watch their league and someone will say, do a tap pass. And that is just... It's really, really cool. That's why I wish it was we're just so much bigger that you could reap the rewards of that. But it's really
cool. Yeah, I love it. I love how it's just became, you know, it's almost like a meme of some sort. You know,
it's
like a little, it's like a gag. You know, it's really funny.
And, well, that is so cool, man. Well, yeah. Congratulations once again. What a fantastic display of pinball.
I really appreciate it.
And I, not only do I love the way you play, I really love your demeanor. I love your positive attitude. You're really joy to watch, and I wanted to do this podcast to let other people that have not met you see you and really appreciate you.
Hey man, hey, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on here. Really appreciate it. Really, really love your streams. Y'all have some top notch work y'all guys do. And well, I really want to make it a wormhole one of these days.
Well, you're gonna. We'll do it. You know, we have 200 pins that we choose from, those that are new to us, and we put 23 in here. We haven't made a change in a little bit because we're dialing them in. The techs are coming on. We have tech night on Wednesdays, so I'm going to be here all night just cleaning and helping, but because I don't know what the hell I'm doing tech wise. But we just want to dial these machines in for our state finals, which we're going to be streaming as well on, and then we got the women's finals the next day. So
January 20th is one of the greatest days for tournament pinball on Twitch, because you have just an endless amount of streams for state championships. You know, it's like, you know, you got the March Madness. It's January Madness. You know, you guys like, all right, we got on one monitor, we got Texas on one monitor over here, we got Wisconsin on one monitor over here, we got New York.
That's what I want to happen. I really do. And
just
and
have,
I hope
just
we're
have,
up on that monitor, you know, because
just have so many monitors. And I can remember the place we played for state championships last year. We had the Fox Cities Wisconsin championship on stream, which is super cool.
Yeah, they do a great job. My God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tom and the crew, they're always cool. They always do a great job. I mean, you do too, you know.
We're getting there. We're
getting there.
Man. Yeah. We're getting there. So this is going to be up tonight, Wednesday, January 10th, and not only on our YouTube channel, but it's also going to be downloaded wherever you get your podcast media from. And our next stream will be the 20th for our state championship. And I do want to send you an invite. In 2025, we are opening a pinball museum here. It'll have 125 pins, some very rare. Out of the 60 pins, out of the 200 pins in the collective of Tim and John's collection, 60 are from Europe. So when
wow.
you, when we started the podcast, you said, "Is that a German kiss?" to your left, and I said, "Yes, that is a German kiss." We have Andromeda here. We have a warlock behind me. Is a
warlock
behind me is a cosmic princess. Is a stern Australian made cosmic princess.
Oh wow!
And that is really cool. And then a Barracuda here, and then Trailer has the light next to the rig. And Trailer is a Spanish game. You can go back. We just streamed it on Monday, and that's a Spanish game that has a really cool playful. It's got an arm of a guy driving a tractor trailer. It's wild. so we're pretty dialed in for our state championship too. So
yeah, there you go.
All right, Dalton. Sorry, take too much of your time. I took too long. I'm sorry.
No, absolutely. No problem at all.
Pleasure, Dalton. Congratulations. Again, high stakes champion in this 2024. Dalton, thank you so very much.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Be sure to, you can catch me on the stream. You mind if I shout myself out?
Right, no, quick? give your shout out. We want to know about Dalton Pinball.
Yeah, Dalton Pinball on Twitch. Main schedule's Thursday nights from Portal Pinball Arcade, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 5 o'clock p.m. Central. We stream for about 2 hours on one game, so just come on in, and you might see a tap pass or two.
You sure as heck will. Man, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye, brother.